Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm delighted to give you meditation instruction. We're going to sit together for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So get settled, please, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair. And if you sit in a chair, please sit with your feet flat on the floor, unless that is uncomfortable, in which case sit in a way that is comfortable. We're going to continue our conversation of the seven qualities of the Dharmic person. We're on number three right now, the third quality. And you don't have to go back and listen to the first two unless you want to. There will be links here. You're certainly invited to. And these seven qualities of the Dharmic person, of the practitioner, which is you and me, are interesting qualities that arise organically. In other words, we don't have to try. We don't have to set intentions. We don't have to visualize. We don't have to do anything. When we sit in this very simple practice, these qualities, maybe they don't arise, but we see that they were already there, and they become emphasized and more clear and come into sharper focus. So they're very interesting, I would say. The first quality of the Dharmic person was called passionlessness, which doesn't mean blasé-ness or no caringness or just pain and pleasure are the same. Doesn't mean that at all. Here, passionlessness means that whatever arises, you attend to, you lean into, you allow yourself to experience. If things go well, that's great. And of course, you're delighted. Who wouldn't be? And when they begin to dissolve and go less well, you don't try to hold on. In other words, when things go great, you're like, wow, that's fantastic. I'm pleased. And when things go poorly, you go, that's not so fantastic. I'm not pleased, but I'm still here. I'm still opening to my experience. I'm not trying to push away all the things I don't want and only hold on to the things that I do want, which is very human. And so when you notice that you are doing those things, pushing away or holding on, you don't get so upset with yourself. You're like, I guess that's what's happening right now. And that's what's meant by passionlessness. The second quality of the Dharmic person is called contentment, which is like, how do you get that? We live in a world that encourages discontent and the purchases that may naturally stem from such discontent, or the striving, or the sense of I'm not good enough. Our world actually encourages discontentment and discourages being okay with the way things are, being okay with the way you are and who you are. So contentment here, not that different than passionlessness, means that what happens, you take an interest in. That's a great way to describe what is meant by contentment. Not, oh, everything's great and cool and I couldn't be happier. When that happens, that's fabulous. I hope that will happen to you all the time. But when that's not the experience, you can still be content, which here means opening to what is. Opening to what is with courage, which is another way of saying curiosity. So all these things, contentment, curiosity, and courage, seem to be related. And then the third quality of the Dharmic person, which we're talking about today, is called fewer activities. We get involved with less things. We have the inspiration to keep our lives simple. Not the admonishment or the scolding or the it would be better if you, not that, but naturally, you want more simplicity in your everyday experience, in what you allow into your life. And what you choose to give up. So I don't know, this is certainly not true for everyone, but in the last year plus, many of us have been compelled to experience this third quality of the dharmic person, fewer activities. Because many of us, though certainly not all of us, have been at home more, fewer places to go, less social obligations, fewer distractions, less, fewer activities. Now, I also want to recognize that for another group of us, it has not been that way. There have been more activities, more strain, more stress, more effort, more work, more effort required just to keep ordinary life afloat. So I'm not saying this is true for everyone. However, with the absence of shopping, less ability to travel, whether you get in your car for a road trip or take a plane across the world, there have been fewer options and more hominess. And that has evoked many responses, ranging from claustrophobia and anxiety, completely understandable, to what's wrong with this? This is pretty okay. I like not having so many social obligations. I like having fewer choices. There's some sort of an exhale that comes with fewer activities. And in the course of what we once knew as ordinary life, going so fast, so many things to do, so many choices, so many places to be, so many possibilities, or so many responsibilities, the idea of experiencing the sort of spaciousness, the spacious delight of fewer activities actually was much less available. And should we have found ourselves in a situation where we didn't have a lot of choices, it could actually provoke anxiety. So yesterday I had a doctor's appointment and I was in the waiting room and I reached into my bag for my phone. No phone. I realized that I'd left my phone in the car. And I didn't want to risk missing my appointment by going back and getting it. And also, what did I need it for? I was sitting there waiting for a doctor's appointment. But my first response was, what am I going to do? In this COVID, post-COVID era, there's no magazines. You're just sitting there. And after about 12 seconds, I was like, this is awesome. I'm hearing the sounds of other people talking. I can't really pick out their words, but I'm hearing their voices and I'm enjoying the sort of melody of their voices. No one can reach me. I'm not scared that I'm going to look at this and see something upsetting. Nothing. I'm not even going to try to meditate because that would be like me trying to get busy. Let me just sit here and enjoy fewer activities. Now, luckily, I didn't have to wait there for an hour. But it was really interesting to suddenly have nothing to do. And it reminded me of some of the delights that I have experienced in the last year or so. And again, I recognize that I'm privileged and fortunate to have been able to have these experiences. The joy of more space. There are many people in my life who I love. That's another great good fortune of mine. But I've been so happy to have fewer social obligations because I'm very introverted and I don't know. I have just enjoyed the quiet. So fewer activities is the third quality of the dharmic person. And it doesn't just mean that you choose to have less to do when possible, because most of us have a lot of responsibilities and it's not always possible to choose to have less to do. But when you do have space to experiment with, not filling it with something. It's weirdly stressful to not do anything. You would think that would be the least stressful thing in the world, but actually that's not the case. So as your practice develops, continues to take root, deepens, progresses along the path, you may find a natural wish for fewer activities to keep things simple. So simplicity is one of the foundational qualities of the spiritual journey. By foundational qualities, I mean those things, those qualities, that without which you're not on a spiritual path, I dare say. You may be learning interesting things, you may be enjoying yourself, you may be discovering useful things, but it's very difficult to be on a spiritual journey with incessant complexity around that journey or in your life in general. I want to try this practice, I want to study this text, I want to go study with that person. Great. Seriously great. You should follow all of the breadcrumbs that present themselves. But at some point, it's necessary to simplify in order to get on the path. So these first three qualities, passionlessness, contentment, and fewer activities, seem to all have something to do with the willingness to simplify. Passionlessness, meaning I'm not going to keep trying to make my experience other than what it is. Contentment, very similar. I'm not going to noodle with everything all the time. I'm going to relax with what is. And fewer activities, these passionlessness and contentment are things that you sort of wrangle on the inside. Fewer activities are things that happen out here in your environment, on your calendar, in your home, in your social world, in your work world. I'm just going to try to keep it simple. I'm not going to add extraneous things because I feel like I should, or because so-and-so is doing it, or because I would look super impressive if I was to do those things. But whenever possible, to simplify and to leave space and to exhale and to create an environment, not just within yourself through passionlessness and contentment, but within your world and around yourself through fewer activities, an environment of that invites insight and wisdom, I would even say love and possibility, because these qualities, possibility and love and insight and so on, creativity, I would add to that, all have one thing in common, my friends. I'm making this up, this is my observation. So don't take my word for anything. And I really mean that. What these things have in common, love and insight and so on, is they are things that we receive. They're things that arise, as opposed to things that we can go out and get. No matter how great my plan is for achieving insight, today I will have deep insights that I've never had before. Well, you can certainly try, but that is not typically how insight comes to us. Rather, it comes to us when we make space and relax and stop trying. Same with love. Our hearts fill with all sorts of things when we make space. Creativity, of course, is predicated on space and discovery and receptivity. So fewer activities invites the possibility of receptivity. Receptivity invites love and wisdom and insight and creativity. If we keep jamming stuff in there, more activities, receptivity fractures. So, something to think about. But not too hard. And how do we actually experience this? Fewer activities, become more familiar with this space of receptivity? Well, we're fixing to do it right now. It's called the practice of meditation. The word in Tibetan for meditation, by the way, is gom, G-O-M, which means familiar, to become familiar with. So as we sit here doing nothing, already we've got fewer activities cranked up, we become familiar with what it feels like to sit with ourselves as we are. Familiar with what it feels like to try to fill the space because we feel like we should be accomplishing something or doing something or getting better at something. Cool, good to become familiar with all of that. And we become familiar with the movement of our own mind. And we practice literally fewer activities when we do this practice, because we're not trying to get anywhere. We're not trying to accomplish anything. We're not trying to be good at anything. We're just sitting. I have a friend, a meditation teacher, who has told me that the instruction she now gives her students when they sit down to meditate together is don't meditate, meaning don't try. Sure, we have a technique. We're going to build it together in a moment. The posture, the breathing, the way we work with our mind. Yeah, do that. Do all of that. But stop trying to meditate or appear to be a meditator. And just apply the technique. So simple. So spacious. So profound. So mysterious. Okay, enough from me. Let's sit together. Please begin your practice by forgetting everything I just said and building your posture from the ground up. You're already seated, presumably, legs crossed loosely in front of you. If you're on the floor, or if you're in the equally spiritual chair, feet flat on the floor, if possible. And let yourself feel heavy from the waist down, like rooted, anchored, like unflappable, immovable, steady. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. And they're really resting. They're not doing anything. Sit up straight and enjoy the grace and power of your back body. And let your front body be soft and tender. Let your belly relax, the area around your heart. And let your shoulders relax. Nothing to carry or lift. The chin is tucked a little bit, so the back of the neck is long. And the mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the mouth is closed because you don't have to talk. Please enjoy that. There's one fewer activity to engage in, talking. Let yourself fall silent. It's a luxury. Relax the muscles of speech, the tongue and the jaw, and just let go of the inclination to speak should you notice that it's present. Because you don't need it. The breath is natural, in and out through the nose, meaning no breathing technique. Literally, the first thing you did when you got here was take a breath, so you already know how to breathe. You're good at that. So just keep doing that. Breathing in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. The eyes are open in this practice. And the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front, whatever feels right given the distance of your screen, but up to around 6 feet or 2.5 meters. And let the eyes be soft and receptive. Imagine they could sit back in the sockets a little bit and just receive. And let the brow relax. And the crown of the head reach up a little bit while the sit bones continue to reach down. Up and down, strong and soft, all right here in our own embodied experience. At the same time, you're just sitting there, so no big deal. Now, let your attention rest on the breath, which means feel the body breathe, rather than notice the breath or observe the breath or feeling it. It's happening in the body. So feel the body breathe in and out, and continue to ride this rhythm by feeling this inhale, this exhale. The mind will continue to make thoughts, which is absolutely fine. That's what it does. Not a problem. Whether there's a lot or a few is the same thing. Your mind will continue to make thoughts and comments and so on. And as best you can, keep your attention on your breath while this is happening somewhere over here. You don't have to do anything about those thoughts. They're not a problem. You're still meditating. However, if you notice that you've become absorbed in a line of thought to the point where you've forgotten about your breath, you're not still meditating. You're thinking. So notice that. Really notice that. Label that thinking silently to yourself. Let go. Don't skip that step. Just let go. Gently come back to this breath and begin again. This is our practice, and we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It's important. Thank you for practicing with me. I feel it. And thank you for practicing together. I'm so happy our paths have crossed.